Welcome, dear listeners, to the episodes of Mahabharata. In the last episode, we heard about you will have 5 sons living. Today, we are going to hear from war preparations. Lord Krishna reached Upaplavya and told the Pandavas that all has happened at Hastinapura. He said, "I spoke urging what was right and also what was good for them. But it was all to no purpose. Now there is no way except war. The foolish Duryodhana would not listen to the advice of anybody. He must now prepare for war without wasting any time." The Pandavas, in consultation with Krishna, selected Dhrishtadyumna as the commander of their army and moved towards Kurukshetra. Draupadi and all other women folk remained in Upaplavya. The Pandavas camped on that part of Kurukshetra which was flat, pleasant and convenient for fodder and fuel supplies. After a night's rest, the army moved again. They reached the banks of the holy river Hiranvati which flows through the Kurukshetra. Here, Lord Krishna ordered a deep trench to be dug. Several tents were pitched. Hundreds of artisans, doctors and surgeons came there. Each tent had an attached hill-shaped armory stacked with bows and arrows, breastplates, battle axes, spears, swords, quivers, shafts and other weapons. On the side of the Kauravas, Duryodhana approached Bhishma. He stood in front of him with folded hands and said, "Without a proper leader, even a powerful army is broken up in war. So, without you, we are helpless." Bhishma said, "My child, I am quite willing to do as you wish, but the Pandavas too are as dear to me as you are. In fulfillment of my promise, I shall lead your army and perform my duty. Every day I shall kill 10,000 warriors, but I shall not kill the Pandavas. One thing more, I will not fight if Karna fights on our side. He and I do not get on well with each other." Duryodhana was in a dilemma. Immediately, Karna intervened and said, "I will keep off from the battle as long as Bhishma is alive. Only after Bhishma is slain will I enter the battlefield." Duryodhana appointed Bhishma as the commander-in-chief of the Kaurava army. Drums and conches were then sounded to announce the commencement of the war. The whole army led by Bhishma rolled onto Kurukshetra like a great flood. The Pandavas heard about the selection of Bhishma as commander-in-chief. Yudhishthira told his 7 army commanders to be alert. Arjuna was made the chief fighter. Krishna took up the reins of Arjuna's chariot. The soldiers shouted slogans, drums roared and conches blew in tens of thousands. Balarama, Krishna's brother, came to Yudhishthira accompanied by many members of the Vrishni race. Yudhishthira and his brothers gave him a warm welcome. They all greeted him and respectfully prostrated before him. Balarama said, "I hear a great war is to be fought. All the kings will be massacred mercilessly in it. I hope to see you all come out of the battle unharmed. It is clear that the war is now unavoidable. I have repeatedly told Krishna not to be partial towards either of the 2 parties. All of you are of one family and tied by blood to us. I have suggested to him to avoid the charge of favoritism. But he has refused to listen to my words out of his deep concern for you. Definitely victory will be yours with Krishna holding the reins of Arjuna's chariot. None can dream of winning against Krishna. Bhima is very dear to me. I have, however, the same affection for Duryodhana also. Therefore, I decided to go on a pilgrimage to the sacred places on the banks of Saraswati. If I remain here, I shall not be able to look on with indifference at the massacre of the Kurus." Balarama took leave of Krishna and others and went on a pilgrimage to holy places. There came to the Pandavas the great Rukmi, the king of Bhojakata. He was the brother of Rukmini, wife of Krishna. He had brought with him an army which numbered 1 Akshauhini. Yudhishthira received him cordially. Rukmi said, Arjuna, you seem nervous on the eve of the war. I shall give you assistance. There is none in this world who is equal to me in strength. I shall destroy your enemies in the battle, including Drona, Kripa and Bhishma. Rukmini looked at everyone and smiled to himself in smug self-confidence. Arjuna then said, "Listen to me, Rukmini. How can you say that I am afraid, especially when I have Gandiva in my hand? We are not in need of your help. You may either go or stay on, just as you like." At this, Rukmini was filled with anger and shame and went to Duryodhana's camp with his army. He said to Duryodhana, "The Pandavas have refused my help. My forces are at your disposal." But Duryodhana also refused his help. Thus, two persons, Balarama and Rukmini, took no part in the great Kurukshetra war. Uluka as a messenger. The river Hiranvati became the line of demarcation between the two sides. Duryodhana discussed his plans with his associates and summoned Uluka, the son of Shakuni, and told him, "Go at once to the Pandava camp and tell Yudhishthira in the midst of everyone, 'We are aware of your boasting message to us. Remember the vow you took in the assembly 14 years ago. The time has come when you have to redeem your vow. I shall also give individual messages to your brothers and to Krishna. Bring me their answers to my messages.'" Uluka reached the Pandava camp. He repeated the words of Duryodhana, which angered the Pandavas. They were so furious. They did not know what they could say in answer to the arrogant message of Duryodhana. They would have killed the messenger himself, but that would have been wrong. They therefore sent a message in reply. "Brave warriors do not repeat their vows. Instead, they redeem them by their action." Receiving their reply, Uluka returned to Duryodhana. Duryodhana assembled his army on the field of Kurukshetra, ready to start the historic war. On the other side, Yudhishthira too moved his army under the leadership of Drishtadyumna. It was a night full of anxiety and excitement for both the sides. Bhishma, accepting the leadership of the Kaurava army, conferred with Duryodhana on the war plan he had made. He inspired Duryodhana by his own heroic spirit and cheerful self-confidence. In their discussion, Karna became one of the subjects of talk. Bhishma said, "Karna has become your guide, friend and advisor. He is neither a Ratha nor an Athirata in battle. The curse of Parasurama is on him, and the battle that will ensue between him and Arjuna will prove fatal for Karna. He brags a lot, but quite often we see him retracing his steps." Drona too joined Bhishma in belittling Karna. Enraged by their harsh words, Karna turned to Bhishma and made a bold and violent attack on him. He said, "O grandsire, you are always seeking to humiliate me. You are envious of me. You seem to hate me without reason. I tolerate all this out of my concern for Duryodhana. You feel that I shall be of no use in ensuing battle? That is because you have least interest in the Kauravas. Let me tell you my firm opinion of you. It is you, not I, who will fail to be of use to the Kauravas. Hating me, you seek to come between me and Duryodhana. You try to poison his mind against me." Turning then to Duryodhana, Karna continued, "O king, age must be respected and the experience of elders will be certainly useful. But there is a point at which the Shastras warn us. Senility creeps in, making old men useless. You have made Bhishma the supreme commander. He will earn fame from the heroic deeds of others. I shall not fight as long as Bhishma is alive. But after he has fallen, I will fight." Bhishma controlled his anger and said, "O Karna, as we are in a crisis, I am sparing your life, or else you would have been the first person to be killed by me." Duryodhana was in a predicament. He tried to console Bhishma. He said, "O grandsire, I need the help of both of you. I am certain that both of you are great warriors. At the break of dawn, the battle will begin. Let there be no bickerings, therefore, at this critical moment." Duryodhana then asked Bhishma to narrate to him the strength and weaknesses of the Pandava side. Bhishma then described the strength and weaknesses of every hero on the Pandava side. The only enemy of Bhishma. While mentioning the strength of great warriors, Bhishma said, "Shikhandi, the son of Panchalas, is one of the foremost heroes on the Pandava side. He will do great deeds in the battle, but I shall not slay him even if he advances towards me and strikes." Duryodhana was quite astonished to hear this. He asked, "Why? You said you will slay the Panchalas? Why then will you not kill their prince?" Bhishma continued, "Chitrangada and Vichitravirya were my brothers. After the death of Chitrangada, I installed Vichitravirya as the monarch. The virtuous Vichitravirya looked up to me always. I was thinking of getting him duly married. At that time, news came that the daughters of the king of Kashi would be given in marriage at a Swayamvara. Their names were Amba, Ambalika and Ambika. Amba was the eldest of them. On behalf of Vichitravirya, I attended the Swayamvara. Then, as was the custom, I challenged all the kings assembled there and forcibly took away the brides in my chariot. I said to them, 'I, Bhishma, son of Shantanu, am taking this young woman away by force in your very presence. O rulers of the earth, try with all your might to liberate them.' Then a great war took place. They surrounded me on all sides with large groups of chariots. But I was too powerful. With a shower of arrows, I arrested their rush easily and defeated every one of them. Unable to withstand my power, they turned back and withdrew. On the way, Shalya attacked me again. But I humbled him too and returned to Hastinapura. Preparations for Vichitravirya's wedding were made. The wedding day was fixed, but Amba said to me, 'O great hero, you are a staunch adherent of virtue. I love Prince Shalya and desire to marry him. Don't you think it is your duty to send me back to him?' Hearing that, I immediately arranged for her return to Shalya with all honor. But Shalya refused to accept her as she has been won by someone else in Swayamvara. She asked Shalya in great expectation of an acceptance, said to him, 'Bhishma did not want to marry us. It was only for his brother that he took us. Bhishma was very noble-minded. As soon as I expressed my wish, he sent me back to you in all honor. Will you now discard me?' But Shalya was adamant and sent her back. Amba was heartbroken. She thought to herself, 'Why? Why is fate so cruel to me who has committed no wrong? Should I blame myself or Bhishma or my foolish father who arranged the Swayamvara where valor was the only consideration for selection? Shame on my father, shame on Shalya, shame on myself and shame on Bhishma. Shame on everybody that I was to be given away as the reward of mere valor. No doubt, every person has to face happiness and sorrow in life. But Bhishma has become the chief cause of my sorrow. I should have my revenge on him either through austerities or battle. But few kings venture to fight with that powerful Bhishma.' Thinking thus, she entered the forest and took shelter in a hermitage. She stayed there for the night and met all the hermits staying in that area. She told them everything in detail, the story of her abduction, her liberation, and her abandonment. The hermits, moved by her story, asked her, 'O lady, we are all hermits spending our time in worship. What help can we offer you?' She replied, 'O sages, I want to achieve my tapas, what could not be achieved by other means. They consulted amongst themselves and tried to dissuade her. "You are a princess. A Tapaswini's life will be unbearably hard for you. Do go back to your father. There is no other proper refuge for you. He will definitely do what is good for you." Either the father or the husband is the refuge of a woman. The husband is a woman's refuge under smooth circumstances, and in a difficult situation, the father is the refuge. But Amba was adamant. Just then there came the great sage Hotravahana. He listened to her grief silently and said to her, "Oh my daughter, I am your grandfather. Do not go to your father. I shall show you the way. Go and approach Parasurama, the great sage. He will certainly remove your grief. He will do you justice. If necessary, he will even kill Bhishma and avenge the injustice done to you." At that time, Providence brought Parasurama to that place. He was a great friend of the sage Akritavarna, so he had come there to see him. Amba again related to him her tale of woe. Parasurama heard her patiently. He took pity on her and said, "O fair lady, I will send for Bhishma." But Amba said, "Revered sir, Bhishma dismissed me as soon as he heard that my mind had already been given in love to someone else. I approached Shalya, but being suspicious of my virtue, he rejected me. The root of my distress is Bhishma. Because he took me by force at the Swayamvara, this situation has arisen. Now all I desire is revenge on Bhishma." Parasurama decided to come to Hastinapura to advise me and make me accept Amba. He took Amba with him and reached Hastinapura. They reached the banks of Saraswati. As soon as Parasurama sent word to me of his arrival, I hurried to the sage and honored him duly. Parasurama asked me, "O Bhishma, why did you carry away the girls when you yourself did not want them? And why did you reject Amba? You have ruined her life. You have touched her. Will anyone else now accept her?" "Quite naturally, Shalya has refused her. Accept her honorably now and do justice to her." I tried my best to convince him why I took them, but to no avail. He forced me to fight with him since there was no alternative. I reluctantly agreed to fight. At that time, my most revered mother, Ganga, appeared and said to me, "What are you doing? I shall go to Parasurama and beg him not to fight." I told her how Parasurama spoke to me. My mother tried her best to stop the fight, but she failed and we had to fight. It was a long and equal combat. At last, my guru had to accept defeat. I went up to him and bowed. He graciously forgave me. He then called Amba and said, "I have done all that I could and I have failed. Take refuge in Bhishma. That is the only course left to you." But Amba would not listen. She took to a life of severe tapas. It went on for a long time. One day, my mother Ganga appeared to her and said, "Why are you engaged in such difficult austerities?" Amba replied, "O mother, Bhishma defeated even Parasurama in the battle. To whom else shall I go and plead for me? So I have taken recourse to perform tapas so that I can please Lord Shiva and get a boon from him. The one purpose of my life is to kill Bhishma." Then Ganga said, "You are evil-minded. With this bad thought in your mind, you will never be able to achieve anything by tapas. I curse you that you turn into a tortuous river, having water only during the rainy season and remaining dry for the other 8 months in the year. Your water will be inaccessible and unknown to the people." Cursing Amba thus, Ganga disappeared. When she came to Vatsabhumi, Amba, on account of her curse, fell down and was changed into a river. By the merit of her austerities, she became a river only half of her body, while by the other half she remained a maiden as before. The rishis at Vatsabhumi tried to dissuade her from practicing further austerities, but Amba remained adamant and engaged herself further in severe austerities with the one thought of pleasing Lord Shiva. Finally, Lord Shiva appeared before her and said, "Grieve not, my child. In your next birth you will kill Bhishma." But she was not satisfied. She said, "Next birth, what is the use? By then I will not remember my hatred. I may kill him, but I will not be able to taste the joy of revenge. I must kill him now." The Lord smiled and said, "Do not worry. In your next birth, you will remember your past. You will be born as a daughter of Drupada. Later, you will become a man and kill Bhishma." Amba was impatient to wait. She prepared a pyre and plunged into the fire. Later, she was born as Drupada's daughter. When her mother begot a female child, she declared it as a male child and kept the fact secret from even her own husband. She was called Shikhandi. Drona educated her. Like the rest of the world, he too mistook her to be a man. Years passed. By the kindness of a yaksha, Amba was able to change her sex and become a man. Thus transformed into a man, he grew up in the house of Drupada with his hatred for me burning like a torch in his heart. This is the story of Amba, Duryodhana. This is how the son of Drupada is both a man and woman. My woe is, I cannot fight Shikhandi, really a woman, even if he comes to kill me, facing me directly. This is the woe which I have taken for all time, and it is known to all the world that I will fight with no woman, with no persons who had been women before, or persons whose names were those of a woman, or those who in appearance seem like a woman. I will not discharge my weapons against any of them. I will not for this reason slay Shikhandi." The time was fast approaching for the war to begin in the early hours of the morning. All retired to sleep. Here ends the Udyoga Parva.